Very kind of you. Would you look in your Bibles tonight with me to Matthew chapter 10, please? Matthew chapter 10. You know, coming back here is like a home away from home. We didn't even know we had a home here till we got here. It's just been wonderful being with you. Such a sweet spirit. And you know, that's all about the farmer being in the field plowing up the ground. And your pastor has been here for a long time, working in the field, plowing up the ground. Great spirit. We just thoroughly enjoy this. Well, I'm in Matthew chapter 10. If you'll look there with me tonight. Now, let me just say something to you. It is pretty interesting how God has wired us as people. You know, God has put in every person's heart. Now, and here's why he does this. Let me just say, he does this so that it's almost like a short leash to keep us close to him. Whether we know him or not, he knows us. You know, the Bible says that he has written his laws on our hearts. And that's designed to almost like a beacon going off all the time. Trying to figure out what we're missing on the inside, see? And it's him. And then he puts certain things in us. For little boys, we have 4 children and 12 grandchildren. All of our little grand boys, you know, they are automatically, when they come over, they just look for some kind of a stick or a fly swatter or something because they're sword fighting and they're doing all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean? Christmas, we bought them gifts and stuff. And my last little thought was, you know, I think I'm just going to buy one of these little ropes, just a little clothesline rope. I cut it in half and gave it to different boys and stuff. And I'm telling you, of all the things we bought them, guess what? The fellas, the ropes, they're tying people up, they're doing this, they're doing that. It's just, it's how God's wired fellas, you know. And then the little girls, you know, they don't want to be involved in that. You know, they're over there playing with their little dolls, and that's just how God's wired us. Now, tonight I want you to look with me here, right out of Matthew chapter 10. I believe this. I believe that God has pre-wired every person with 2 specific emotional needs. Every person on the planet, doesn't matter where you live, everybody is pre-programmed with 2 basic emotional needs. How many of you know we can be emotional? Well, there are 2 things that God has wired us that we need to have these 2 specific emotional needs. Our emotions need these 2 things. Now, that's what we're going to look at tonight. So, you're in Matthew chapter 10. Now, let's stand and read here from the Word of God. Matthew chapter 10. And I'd like to start here in verse 28. Now, probably just by reading these, you won't be able to see yet what these 2 emotional needs are. But as we get into it, I think you'll see it right away. So here's what the Bible says, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. The Lord is speaking, and he says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, that's God. God can do that. So don't be afraid of the person who could kill your body. Be more concerned about the person who could kill both body and soul. See, which is God. In other words, don't be so fearful about the lightning. Be more concerned about the person who's sending the lightning. You hear what I'm saying? And then it drops on down here, verse 29. "Are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, without your father's awareness?" Verse 30. "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." So, Lord, here we are tonight. We're your people. We love being your people. We thank you so much for letting us be in your forever family. And it just is it's that special family that's even stronger, bonded together than maybe our blood family. Thank you for that. You just know how to do this so well. And so tonight, Lord, would you help us to see those two emotional needs that you put in every one of us, and what does that mean to us? Now, bless your word to us tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, here in verse 28, it says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." There's a plague across the United States of America. It's epidemic stages. People are fearful. They're afraid of dying. They're concerned about that. They don't want to die. But the scripture says, of course, it is appointed unto man once to die. Now, I want to give you right up the very first emotional need that is put inside every person. Here's the first emotional need. The first emotional need that's really talked about here is this thing called security. Security. Am I safe? Am I going to be okay? Fearfulness, worry, anxiety is really an assault on one of the basic needs we need, security. Now, if you're not sure exactly what I'm talking about, the Bible tells us here who we should be, who we should fear. The scripture says in Proverbs 14:26, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence." Now, when it says fear, it's not being afraid, phobia. It's more, who should we really trust? See? In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Have you ever had confidence in someone you was afraid of? No. So it means someone that you really have strong confidence in. Now, here the Bible tells us some people that we should not be afraid of. Like man, Proverbs 29:25. "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Now, don't fear circumstances, Proverbs 3:25. "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." All across our land, people are fearful. They're afraid of security. By the way, you know where we get that? Little kids in the womb. You think about it. When a little baby is growing in the womb, it's really close, cramped up quarters. And that becomes security to them. And then all of a sudden, whenever they're born, and they can actually move their arms and legs, they get scared. So what do? Even from the hospital, moms, what do? We take a blanket, wrap them around like a little papoose, real tight, and guess what? It's kind of a reenactment of the womb, and oh, they feel secure, don't they? And actually, how many of your kids used to drag around security blankets? Yeah. And you know, it gets to be to a point where you're thinking, you know, I sure hope they get rid of that security blanket. In a couple weeks, they're going to go to school, you know, and I don't know if they should be dragging a security blanket. But there's something about that security blanket. God has put within us the need for security. We want to have security, see? Yeah, matter of fact, look around you. Well, our little granddaughter, I was thinking, little Lydia, bless her heart. And the blanket would just get so dirty, she would just take it around everywhere with her, out to play, inside, to sleep in. Her mom would have to wash it over and over again. And every time she washed it, it kind of fray around the edges. And so we'd trim that off, and it just got kind of smaller and smaller and smaller. And it kind of got to a little patch, you know, a little security patch, I guess you'd call it. But we all have that need of security. Like whenever I was growing up as a kid, my folks were migrant workers, so we moved all over the place. Traveled here, traveled there, this school, that school. And I really became very insecure. I had a real security problem. One of the things I did, I stuttered real bad. Anybody have that kind of problem? You stutter. And I did, man. I was so self-conscious of that that I didn't want to make friends. It was too hard to talk to them. But it was just, I was very insecure because of that stuttering thing. My little brother, on the other hand, because of all the places we traveled and moved to, he was insecure, so he began to wet the bed. How many of you can identify with that? Well, what I'm saying to you is, my little brother and I always slept in the same bed, and I got so tired of rolling over on the cold spot. You know what I'm talking about? And that little scamp, he would blame me. I didn't do that. You did that. No, I didn't. My side is dry. Well, you must have come over on my side. No, I'm just, all I'm saying to you is, it's a security thing. Now think with me. Think of the terms we use today, because everybody needs security. Am I okay?
Yes, sir.
Am I secure? Is it going to work out okay? So we've got safety deposit box, a security box. We've got security alarm systems. You hear what I'm saying? We've got social security. Now, how secure is that? See, what I'm trying to say to you is, there's a need inside us, security. Now, you don't really get much security until you get saved. Then you get eternal security. Isn't it funny how we say that? Gracious. See, we need that. There's just something inside us that needs to be secure. I got saved as a policeman, and my chief called me in one day. I was always working in the high crime rate area in the ghetto, and he said to me, he pulled me in. By the way, a city where there's, almost 3,000 policemen, if you get called into the chief, you're either in a lot of trouble or maybe you're going to get a promotion. And I didn't see a promotion coming in. So when I went into his office, I was pretty insecure, Think, did I do something wrong? Am I going to get fired? Well, anyway, here's what he told me. He said, Officer Souter, he said, our intelligence out on the street has gotten information that there's a subversive criminal organization in your district, and you've had clashes with them, you've arrested them, and our intelligence tells us that they have a contract out on your life. Now, can you just stop with me here for a second? Now, see, this won't make much sense to you unless you kind of, for a second, crawl in my shoes. So here I'm married. We had our first little daughter. And I'm getting the news that somebody has a contract out on my life. Hello, I'm too young to die. Now, by the way, isn't that funny? 97-year-old person, but I'm too young to die. But now that is the cycle of life. How many of you know that? Now, here's what I want to try to say to you. So here I am, I'm thinking, really? A contract on my life? Do you realize if somebody wants to snipe at you from around the corner or upstairs in a building and kill you, they could do it. How many of you know that? So he said, people in the district have gotten together in your area and they've collected money and they have a contract on your life. Whew. I mean, I started breathing heavy. And then the more he talked about it, and so then I started thinking, they got together, all their money. And are you thinking what I'm thinking? Like, I wonder how much that contract is on my life. Now, do you hear what I'm saying? So I asked him, I said, well, Chief, the contract there on my life, like how much is that? He said, $800. I said, $800? Well, it was the ghetto, They're probably putting all their welfare checks together and stuff, but it was kind of disappointing to me, $800 and I'm going to die for this? What if I pay him $1,000 and live? Would that work? So I went home and I was trying to figure out, should I tell my wife or not? Now, what we're talking about, one of the emotional needs that everybody has is security. Am I okay? Am I going to be safe? See? So I went home and told my wife. That didn't work. I mean, I wrestled with it. Should I tell her? But I thought I ought to tell her in case they tried to come out to our house and do what they were going to do. So guess who what married couple didn't sleep good for several weeks. So finally, as a new Christian, I went to my pastor. And I said, Pastor, I really need to talk to you. I said, you know, I'm not sleeping well at night. He said, well, let's meet. We met. I told him the whole thing about the contract. And he said, well, son, sit down. Let me talk to you. He said, now, let's think this through. He said, so if tonight on the job they assassinate you and kill you, what'll happen? And I'm thinking, well, let's don't lead into this. Let's just kind of get right to it. You know what I mean? And so I started kind of breathing heavy, and I said, well, I mean, you know, I'll die. He said, okay. And then what'll happen after that? And I said, well, you know, I'd really like for you to do the funeral. Oh, he said, well, yeah, I'd be honored to do that. He said, and then what'll happen after that? I said, well, you know, I guess I put my body in the grave, and, you know, and he said, and then what happens? And I said, well, you know, I'm going to be in heaven because I'm saved. He said, now, there, let's talk about that. Now, what's so bad about that? Well, I said, nothing, but I just wasn't really interested in going in the next busload. You know what I'm saying? And he said, well, I understand. But he said, now look, here's what you need to understand. Now, boy, this really helped me. Now, listen, he said, do you realize that it is appointed unto man once to die, and you are virtually indestructible until God knows it's your time? He has a shield of protection. Showed me out of Job. Shield of protection. He said, you're not going to die until it's time to die. Now, listen to me. See, what my problem was, I just felt very vulnerable, very insecure. The scripture is very clear. We have security in Christ. As a Christian, you're not going to die until it's time for God to punch your number, so to say. And then, think about it. Once you die, guess what you get to do? Live forever. Wow. So anyway, I walked out of there thinking, whew, well, that's right. I'm virtually indestructible until it's time for me to go. Now, you're not going to be able to stop the time that you're to go. So just live right up to it. You're going to have to anyway. So I got to the point where that really helped me on the inside. I could sleep again. Do you hear what I'm saying? We all need this thing of security. You know, the people you're gonna bring on friend day, secretly on the inside, here's what they've been thinking. In the lives of human beings here on planet Earth, United States of America, here's what they think. Where did I come from? That's why we're always spending so much time looking at our roots, you know. We just can't be Americans anymore, can we? We have to be Afro-Americans. We have to be Hispanic-Americans. We have to be gringo-Americans or whatever that is. You know, we're always interested in our roots. Where did we come from, you know? Now, and also another thing we're interested in is, why am I here? Is there a reason I'm on this planet? Is this just a big mistake? Is anybody in charge? Now, the people you're bringing, they're wrestling with this. It's all about security. And here's what they're really asking. What does happen when I die? Does that mean that life is over? Is there life after death? They're asking those questions. And it's all about security. Security. We wrestle, work frequently with people who are struggling with security. Now, here's how this looks on the other side. When something happens in your life that you wish never would have happened, and it's out of your control, then to gain back a little bit of control or security in your life, we tend to go over here and work on things that we really can control. In other words, frequently we'll work with people that are having problems with diet issues, like anorexia, bulimia, eating issues, or issues with cutting. People that have been hurt. So when something happens out of your control and it really assaults your security on the inside, then you'll go over here and find something you really can control. One lady, she said, now we call that obsessive compulsive things, you know, doing something over and over and over again. Like she said, she came and she said, you know, I have a problem counting money. I said, well, no, I don't understand. What do you mean? She said, well, you know, when I get paid on a Friday from my work, I go to the bank, I cash my check, and it takes me about 45 minutes to count my money. And I said, really? So are there any openings at your job? I mean, that sounds to me like you can make a lot of money there. No, she said, you don't understand. It's a small amount of money, but she said, I just am compulsed to count it over and over and over. See? Now look, these are security issues. Some, how many of you have heard of hoarders? Now, really, all that is, something's happened in their life, and they've had to have a new normal, and they don't feel secure about that, so they're going to start doing something. When something happens out of your control, then you find something over here you really can control to compensate. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, the people you're going to be that are going to be visiting with you next week, they have problems just like you and I will have problems. They don't have the answers that you and I have, but they have problems. They have things that are happening in their life that's flip-flopping upside down. They feel very insecure, see? They you know, my whole life was flipped upside down. A death or an abortion or maybe a child that ran away from home and or a divorce or just whatever it is. And when that happens, it makes you feel really insecure because your whole normal life gets flip-flopped. Now, normally what they'll do is they'll try to find something that they can control to help balance out that lack of control. Now, it's all about insecurity. Now, to take a look back here in Matthew, if you would with me just for a second, Matthew chapter 10, I want to look at the second emotional need that everybody has. Matthew chapter 10, let's look in verse 29. He says here to us, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? By the way, a sparrow? How significant is a sparrow? It doesn't have any importance hardly at all, does it? I mean, we might be interested in beautiful, colorful birds, but a sparrow? Really? Now, here's what the Bible says. And are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father knowing it. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Now here's the second emotional need that every one of us have. The first one is security. The second one is significance. Does anybody love me? Does anybody care about me? God has put within us the need to love, catch this, and be loved. Now, he thought this whole thing up of marriage, raising children. It was his plan. And so he put within us these two basic needs. One is security, and the other is significant. Am I important to anybody? Does anybody care about me? And it's a difficult thing. If you're going through life as an adopted child through an unwanted pregnancy, or you were rejected by your family members somehow, or it seemed like your sister got a lot more acceptance than you did, it hurts on the inside because you're not getting that significance. Does anybody care that I'm here on planet Earth? Does anybody love me? And now, you get to feeling that way. Now, listen to me. When you get to feeling insignificant and you don't feel like anybody really cares about you, you'll do some things to try to get what, for yourself, emotionally, what the people aren't giving you. Like, for instance, if you're not feeling very accepted and significant and important, you can tell sometimes by the way a person walks. Are you looking up here? Now, let me show you. Here's a couple of things. Have you ever met these kind of people? See, they walk along. They're kind of bent over. They don't want to make eye contact. You know, They don't want to get in anybody's way. You know what that's really saying? I don't feel good about myself. I don't feel very important. I'm not sure anybody loves me. And I don't want to be rejected again. See? Now, that's one side of the coin. Here's the other side of the coin. You ever seen anybody walk like this? See? What's that mean? That means the same thing on the other side of the coin. You would think they've got the world by the tail. You'd think they're self-sufficient, but you know what's on the inside? I've got to prove to everybody that I am somebody. Ask me who I am, I'll tell you. I am very important. You know, if you're really important, you don't have to get that from somebody else. You know, if you have to keep telling telling all the people around you that you're a woman, you know, something's wrong about that. If you have to keep telling everybody around you how many muscles you have and what kind of a job I used to have and I used to do this and I did that, that means, do you hear what I'm saying? There's some insignificance there. Your heart's been hurt. You felt some rejection in life. You wished you felt better about yourself. You don't feel very important. So, with that in mind, these are the two basic needs that everybody has. I remember as a young pastor, this whole thing of significance. My first little church we pastored was out in the cornfields of Ohio. We moved in, you know, out of boxes. And now I'm at the church and I'm setting up my little office. Oh, couldn't have been much bigger than the little platform up there that the piano sets on. So, and I'm pulling out all my stuff, my books, all across the wall and around this wall and around the other wall. And so then I'm pulling out all my diplomas. And as I'm nailing them on the wall, I get this little thought from the Spirit of God. So are these diplomas, is that what's going to help build this church? This little thought, fleeting thought, must have been from the devil. So I ignored it, pushed it offside. But every day, I mean, think about it, here's what happened. So every day I'm coming to my little office with all the books that I've studied and read, and the diplomas hanging around. You kind of space them out, make it look more. And every day I walk in there, first thing I'd see were those diplomas. And I remember sitting there one day, open for business, but I wasn't getting any business. One day I got a knock on the door. Oh, man, I got pretty excited. Finally, somebody's recognized who I am. And I sure hope they can see my diplomas from that seat that they're sitting in. So anyway, so here it was. It was one of our little teenage boys, Lenny Utsi. Now, Lenny had a brain tumor. And I was new to the community, new to the congregation, small little congregation. He had had a brain, I'd heard about it, a brain surgery. And it left him really not functioning very well on one side. They were talking about he's going to have another surgery. And so he kind of walked like this. Just that one side. It was difficult. And when he talked just kind of, have you ever gone to the dentist and one side is numb and you're kind of trying to talk out of the others? Well, so he came to the door. I said, oh, Lenny, how are you? Well, I'm doing fine, preacher. How are you? I said, well, I'm doing great, just kind of sitting here studying. I said, can I help you? Well, yes, I would like to have some tracks. Oh, I said, well, so we walked out there in the lobby, bunch of tracks. I loaded him up with tracks, and here he went, back out to his bicycle, parked outside, got on the bicycle, and he started pedaling away. Next week, all week long, I'm sitting there in my office, straightening my diplomas. Hear another knock. It's Lenny again. He said, hi, preacher. How are you? I said, I'm doing great, Lenny. How are you doing? Okay. could I get some more tracks? Sure. And this time I'm loading him up with tracks. And as I'm kind of walking him out to his bicycle, I said, well, what are you doing with all these tracks? Well, he said, you know that little town that's 3 miles away? Yeah, I do. He said, well, I'm just going door to door and putting tracks on those doors and telling people about Jesus. Yeah, it just smote my heart. Now, look. He had more security and significance in his little finger than I had in my whole entire body as a preacher. I saw him pedal away, uncoordinated, haphazardly, and I just dropped to my knees out there in the parking lot. I said, God, what's my problem? What am I thinking here? He's doing what I should be doing. Do you hear what I'm saying? Isn't it funny how we are with those two needs, security and significance? He already had it. He had another operation. And this time it left him a lot worse. And they said, you know, he's probably not going to recover. I saw him. I'd visit him at home, out of the hospital and then at home. And I remember when little Lenny Utsi died. I cried. I thought, you know, Lord, he understands security and significance a whole lot better than I do. And I knelt down at his casket and I said, you know, Lenny, I'd like to be just like you when I grow up. Amen. Now, look, we're all needing two things, security and significance. Now, I want you to go to another area of Scripture with me. It's here in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is a pretty penetrating area of Scripture, starting in verse 7. It's talking about Jesus Christ being in us. Verse 7 says, and we have this treasure. You know, the Greek word for treasure here is thesaurus, where we get our English word thesaurus. A thesaurus is a book of words, synonyms, homonyms, so forth. He says, and we have this treasure in earthen vessels. When you put the word of God in this dirt jar called a human skin, you've got a treasure here. And here's what it says. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, he shows us some interesting things here. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, maybe in our thinking, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now, verse 11, very important. Watch this. For we which live are alway delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now, here's what it's saying. Once Jesus Christ comes aboard in our heart, the process is that the outer man has to perish so that the inner man can come alive. As a matter of fact, here's how it says it a few verses later. Look at this. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now I want you to look one more time back here at verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death. Here's what it's saying. Somebody has to die, somebody has to live. Since Jesus is life, then guess who has to die? See, we're always looking for something to give us security and significance. Fellas, look. Remember the old first car you got? Oh, yeah. See, now that's all about significance. I remember that car I had. My word. You know, you pull up to a stoplight. What's that all about? See? And you know what it was like when you left the hamburger place? Revving up that old six-cylinder. Pop the clutch. That's the only thing you can get a little bit of rubber on it. Now, what? But see, and what? You want everybody to look at you. Isn't that it? Hey, man, I'm cool. And you slide way down there. See, now, to get it to do that, if you're not poor, I mean, if you're not rich, you got to pull one of the spark plug wires off, you know what I mean? So, and here's what I'm saying. Why do we do all this stuff? Why do we dress like we do, you know? Kind of so people can see your lapel. What kind of store that's from, see? All my stuff's from thrift stores. All I'm saying to you is, see, we all need these two things, security and significance. And where do you go to get it? Do you realize when you accept Jesus Christ, your Savior, you have all the security and significance you'll ever need in your whole entire life? Now, here's what it's like. Look with me how David figured this out, the king, over here in Psalms. Would you look there with me, please? Psalms 131. Now, while you're turning there, here's what I want to say to you. When the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. See, the outer man has to die so the inner man can come alive. How we always try to get our security and significance. Do you know how people fish for compliments? I mean, they'll put on their very best outfit Sunday, and then they come in and go, oh, this dress, I don't know what the problem is with this. Oh, no, that dress really looks nice. Oh, you think so? What is it that really looks nice? Well, I mean, just the whole thing, the way it's cut. Oh, really? How about here in the back? See? Now, why do we do that? We're looking for security, and we're looking for significance. See? Now, here's what David said. Now, I want you to see how this works. David says in Psalms 131, got that? Verse 2. He says, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Your soul, you know what your soul is? It's how you're thinking. It's how you're feeling. It's the choices you're making on the inside. Now, I want you to see how this looks here. I brought with me an umbilical cord. Did you recognize that right away? Let's get it plugged in. Navel. Now, isn't it funny? Now, when you're a kid and you're born, guess what you have? You have an umbilical cord hooked to your mother. Now, what's your mother give you? Everything. Security, significance, you know what I mean? Now, when you're born, guess what? They cut this off. So you don't have the physical umbilical cord anymore. You know what you have? You have an emotional umbilical cord. And that umbilical cord is trying to plug in somewhere so it can get those two emotional needs that everybody has, security and significance. Do you hear what I'm saying? So as you're young growing up, you get your first set of wheels. Well, guess what you do? You somewhere in there, maybe where the lighter is, you plug in. This is my significance. This is my freedom. This is who I am. See? And you blast the radio up because why? I mean, did you ever think that? Why would you have to wear earplugs inside your car listening to your radio? Well, what you're wanting is everybody else to know you have a radio. All the people outside. You know, have you ever seen the cars drive by and your windows start rattling? I mean, it's just, you know what their problem is? Security and significance. And they're trying to reach out into the neighborhood. I want people to know who I am. Now, here's what I'm saying to you. God says, you know, if you're not getting your security and significance from the right person, me, then you're going to be very disappointed in life. Now, married couples, listen to me. You know what we do when we get married? We have this emotional umbilical cord. We need two things, security and significance. So guess what we try to do? We try to fit this thing into our spouse. And we start sucking from them security and significance. Tell me I'm important again. Tell me how much you like me. Now, we need that. But what I'm saying is you take this umbilical cord. I got kind of sick umbilical cord here. And we try to plug it in places that God never designed for us to plug it in. So what the scripture says there, he has to sooner or later deliver us. That's what the Bible says. So you take this umbilical cord and you plug it into your bank account. Whew, feel pretty secure. I've got 37 bucks in there. Hello, you know that's four trips to Burger King. Well, all I'm saying to you is, catch this. You try plugging it in there, or you try plugging it into your spouse, or moms, listen to me. You realize what we do? We plug into our children to try to get security and get significance. Do you love your mama? Well, your mama loves you. Tell me again, do you love me? Give mama a kiss. Who's the best mama in the world? I'm not saying that's bad, but maybe the little kids could figure that out on their own. See, we're always fishing for things. We're trying to get security and significance from the people around us. It's a huge mistake because, listen, God's never designed them to give you your security and your significance. You might get a little bit, but we need a lot. Here's what God says. You know, if you could get all of your security and your significance from these things, then they will become idols in your life. You won't need me. How many of you know we serve a jealous God? And it's not that the kind of jealous we're thinking, but he just doesn't want anybody else to take his place. You know why? Because he's the only one that can really meet our emotional needs, security and significance. Here's what the scripture says. You start trying to plug yourself in someplace, God says, now here's some bad news. I'm going to have to come and deliver you from that. It's not going to work out for you. That's why, you know, before you get married, you know what you do? You ought to be more in love with the Lord than you are your future spouse. You know how good marriages work? Husband and wife loving the Lord more than maybe even loving them each other. Now, if it ever gets flipped, guess what? Then you're trying to plug into the wrong place. Now, some of you have grown kids and they're gone, but you're still trying to plug into their life to get something you need. You know, you call. Now, did you ever ask yourself the question, why don't they call you? Because you've trained them, you're going to call them. And you know, have you ever been this on the end of the phone? They call and they say, you say, well, hey, mom, how you feeling? Oh, bad question. They're going to tell you every ache and pain they've ever had in the last time they called. Why? They're wanting significance and security. You know what God's plan is? Here's what David said. You know, I've learned something here. I've learned from the scripture, I need to be like a weaned child. You know what I mean, weaned? So I'm not going to try to plug into my general of my army. I'm not going to try to plug into the finances. I'm not going to try to plug into acceptance and security from my wives. He says, you know what you have to do? You have to raise this umbilical cord a little higher. Now listen closely. If you don't, you're going to get hurt, church. Now, just listen to me closely. You got some wonderful people on the staff. You got a wonderful pastor who's in a coma right now. But don't make the mistake. Now listen to me. Don't make the mistake of going over and plugging into one of them. It'll be a temporary fix. But I'm just telling you, if the Lord ever moved one of them to be a missionary someplace and they weren't there, guess what? Then you're staggering around trying to figure out who else. Now, who's next? Are you available? Can I plug into you, please? See, isn't that amazing how it works? Because I'm kind of a little low on security and significance today. Have you got a minute? Have you got 3 hours? I just need a 3 hour. So all I'm saying to you is, wouldn't it be better, really, to go ahead and wean yourself from trying to get security and significance, we all need it, from the people around us? They'll help you along the way. But I'm just telling you, now you got to reach a little higher. If you can get your security and significance from the Lord, now listen to me, you can be whole. You can get healed. You can have a wonderful life. And then when all the stuff happens around you, you lose someone, you lose a job, you lose this, you lose that, guess what? Well, it's a loss, but still you're okay. You've got security. You've got some significance still because you were plugged into the right place. How many of you understand what I'm saying? So, Father, thank you.